All right. And here's the real fun. Can I get the intro right on the first try?
Good luck, KT. Right. You'll need it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Hello and welcome to the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT of Family Foam Sport, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Vile Mods and Jolt King 627. I said it right this time.
Yay.
How are you?
Congratulations.
Yay. How are you two doing? Vile, what have you been up to lately?
I've been good. Just actually finished a dart catcher. Just got done building one. I'm so happy to finally get that and not have darts all over my room. And hopefully for streams, I'll be able to actually catch the darts and not have to leave the desk, which would be great.
That makes a big difference. That really does make a big difference, huh?
Massive.
And Jolt, how about you? What are you up to? How is our new TikTok star doing?
Oh, no. You had to bring that up, didn't you? I'm sorry. I have sinned. I have gone to the land of cringe, and I have posted my first TikTok.
It is. But it's good. It's so good, though.
I'm so sorry. Good, though.
Jolt has been fighting the short-form vertical content. He's been fighting the good fight against short-form vertical content for a long time, but we have finally convinced him to post a thing on TikTok. And did it breach 1,000 views?
Or did it, let me did check. It stall out? I think it's like at 900 or something.
I will let everybody know I have continued on the good fight alone in my solidarity. I am the only one who still doesn't have a TikTok account.
I don't technically either. I just signed in with Google.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, fair.
Anyway, how are you doing, Jolt?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I guess I should say I'm doing pretty good. I've been back on the content grind. I accidentally put two shorts out today, so YouTube squashed them both, so that's great. doing amazing. I just misscheduled them. It was a lot of chaos because I had one go up. YouTube is so picky about shorts lengths, and the one-minute reviews come so close to the 1 minute that if they go over by, like, a frame, it considers them 1 minute and 1 second and just posts it as a vertical normal video.
Ugh, gross.
That's why I always try and be safe by, like, a couple seconds.
I can't do that with these videos. There's so much to cram into them. I don't have that option. So
Fair enough.
It's tough. But that's fine. I'll probably be reposting it. I also want to start saying this. So today is Thursday, February 9th, which is when we're recording this. The episode comes out tomorrow on the 10th. The news episode comes out tomorrow on the 10th. And the podcast should be out on the 11th, maybe on the 12th. But I want to start saying that at the beginning of the podcast because I think it can be kind of confusing because things do tend to happen like on the weekend and then people are like, well, why didn't they cover this? Why didn't they talk about this? We're recording on Thursday night. So if anything happens Friday or Saturday, it's not making it on the podcast. Anyway, speaking of things that happened suddenly, almost unexpectedly and recently, Vile and I now have Gallarhorn. Gala. I've been corrected on TikTok on my pronunciation so many times. I posted a video about the Gala horn. I guess I'm going to pronounce it that way. that breached 100,000+ views. It's a popular thing. People are pretty excited about it. And I'm fairly confident that it is. Another thing I got corrected on, incorrectly, the largest official Nerf blaster, both in overall size. We did figure out that the Mandalorian rifle is 1.5 inches longer, but overall smaller.
This is the way.
it apparently is. Vile, how are you enjoying your Gala horn?
So my Gala horn is hanging up actually on my pegboard. I put it up there because it's enormous and I needed to get it out of the way because it was literally just getting moved from my chair to the floor to out of the way of the floor so I could leave my office to, so I had to put it somewhere. But I actually got mine first. And I know that you got yours, I don't remember how many days later.
It's
but
just
I,
like a couple days after. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was shortly after I did. And I tried actually opening it on stream and because I wanted to see what the internals were like. And there was a brave soul out there. I don't remember that user's name over on Reddit that opened it up. Actually answered some questions for me as well because I did ask a few who actually got into theirs because it is solvent welded. There's a the front wolf head on it. It's like a rubber piece that needs to be ripped off. So there's a whole lot of unfortunate parts that you do have to destroy if you want to get into it. But I was able to get into it and take a look, and I was quite impressed. I know that numbers aren't like the most impressive, obviously. You know, I think you put yours over the chronograph too, didn't you? Or did you get a chance to? I don't remember.
I have not, and I honestly, it's been chronoed enough times by a few people. I mean, like, I'm one of the first like video producers to do it, so maybe I should, but a product like that, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if I'm going to mod it, it's like, I mean, I guess I'd like a benchmark, but, like, it's big and it looks cool and it shoots shells.
Yeah, and I know there, I knew it. I mean, we all kind of called it. There are so many 3D printable shells already being, like, yep, available now. There are just tons and tons of stuff, which is really fun out of something like this. You can put Mega XL, you can put singled megas, singled, you know, half darts, just, you know, just kind of do whatever.
Shooting
a
single half dart out of a shell, out of a blaster this size is the funniest concept I could possibly imagine.
It is.
Why not do something actually useful, like, I don't know, singled ultra?
Actually, didn't somebody do a triple ultra? Didn't somebody?
I'm sure.
Probably. I haven't really kept track because I don't have one.
Yeah. But yeah, when I got into it, I was surprised. It is a heavy, heavy blaster. It is by far one of the, as KT was saying,
I weight compared it in one of my videos to a Prometheus with the battery. It's heavier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A Vulcan with all the attachments. It's heavier.
Is it heavier than the Vulcan with the batteries?
I did not put batteries in, but it was so much heavier than the Vulcan that I think it still might be, or at least they're
it's
very
six
comparable.
D's for the Vulcan, so you never know.
No, I know. Yeah, it's a lot of battery. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, at one point I weighed a Vulcan with the batteries in it. I think it was when I was comparing the weights of a bunch of blasters to the Flip 32. And I think I weighed a bunch of blasters, including the Vulcan with the batteries in it. And it's comes out surprisingly light. I think the Flip 32 compared unfavorably to the Vulcan
really?
With batteries in
it.
Doesn't look
that heavy.
It's heavy. It's
a pretty
annoying.
Heavy one. Yeah, it's weirdly heavy.
I need to get
heavy.
One to try.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm speaking off the cuff now. Like, now I actually want to put it all on a scale again, but yeah. The Galahorn, point is, the Galahorn is heavy.
Very.
I gotta be honest, I'm just gonna call it the Gajallarhorn to Gajallar, piss the Gajallar. Most people off.
Gajallarhorn. I will say, when I did get into it, though, it was sort of as I expected. It looks very similar to Mega XL internals. If we do get the ability to get maybe printable parts of the ones we have to remove, you know, for people out there who are looking to potentially want to get into it or whatever, it looks like it could probably do similar mods to a Mega XL. Just putting that out there, you know. For those that are adventurous enough. But
that's a real option. Yep. The other thing that I think is really interesting about this is sort of keeping track of when people are getting them, when people are getting their shipping notifications, because this has been sort of the ongoing problem with Nerf Limited, is they promise things by a certain date, they make you pre-order it, and then they become available in advance of that, direct from Amazon or whatever, and they become available in other ways, and people who didn't pre-order it get it before people who did, and sometimes at less cost. And this one went a little bit better because the initial orders were so much more limited, because at first you had to have it in-game in order to order it. And like I said last time, I went through someone else who did it in game. But Vile, you just ordered it.
Yeah, I was able to get it because they did say that after that initial pre-order,
right,
it would be available to just anyone else. And of course they said stuff
like if there's enough left, and like there was enough left. Like we all kind of knew that was going to be the case. But I was hoping that by putting in this thing in a special way, I would get it earlier. And Vile got it for me.
Yeah, you didn't. And so that was what was surprising to me, was the fact that I was able to get something that was supposed to be so limited first. That was probably the most surprising thing out of this.
And I know other people who still don't have theirs. Mm-hmm. Who one of the things we talked about too is Vile is closer to a shipping center. I live in an area where shipping is kind of a nightmare. But even accounting for that, mine was later. Like I got my notification later, and it was picked up by the delivery service later. Like it was just later. So still a mess, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like this one went a little bit better because I think because it was a little more limited. And you know, like the Needler seemed okay. I feel like I got it at a reasonable clip. But like, I would like to see, you know, you pre-order it and you get it like weeks before it goes up for sale. If you're going to make people go through the rigmarole of pre-ordering something and potentially paying more, they should at least get some like exclusivity on the thing. Some like real exclusivity. And it has not been that way.
Yeah, I would agree on that. It's frustrating when, you know, when even I'm going to put this out there. I used to work at GameStop, but the whole point was like, you know, that was why you pre-ordered. But, you know, even back then, there was a set date. There was a set time. You know, you would get bonuses because you were pre-ordering it, because they could, you know, companies in general are supposed to use that as a way to, you know, gauge how much interest there is in this particular product, whatever it is. Yeah. So it's still kind of strange how they sort of, I don't know, what's the best way to call it, ham fist this whole thing? They just kind of just whatever, just throw it out there and we get it when we get it, sort of.
Totally. And the Boba Fett blaster, I guess, is the next one. And like one person has gotten it. We almost covered this in the show, but I've just decided it wasn't that interesting. You know, just there's like one YouTube video about the Boba Fett blaster, which is just like a little shell firing whatever, right? It has its own weird shells. Joel, do you know anything about that?
It's a revolver. It's a 4-round revolver, and it's basically a drop cylinder strong arm with less capacity.
Got it.
And probably a weaker priming mechanism.
Yeah.
From what I understand of the Boba Fett, it does look like most of the older Star Wars blasters, especially, it looks really good as a prop, especially for people who like to do cosplay. I think it's definitely sort of like the Mandalorian, right? It was supposed to be like
you
that.
You say this, but there's one issue I have to say. You look at the other side of the blaster, and there are so many humongous screw holes.
Really?
It's so ugly.
I haven't seen it. Oh,
it's,
that's a shame.
It's horrendous.
That's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the Galahorn doesn't have those. It's just they're so small compared to the blaster.
Right.
With this one, it's like there's just so many of them. It's ugly. Yeah. There's no other way to describe it.
So I mean, this another big topic that we talked about in this episode is Hasbro having some trouble, and it seems that they are trying to focus their business more closely on this kind of direct-to-consumer merchandising. 'Cause, you know, we have the Nerf Limited series, which are sold through Hasbro Pulse. Hasbro Pulse is their whole, like, business division that they said is one of their big areas of growth this last year. And it's not just Nerf blasters. They do a lot of action figure sales through this. And it's all collectible action figures sold primarily, I assume, to adults. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. They're not good at it, from at least as far as our hobby is concerned. like, they have not figured out the distribution on it. They have not figured out these details. They haven't, like, it. Pre-ordering something feels like an unfortunate necessity, not like an exciting experience. And if they really think that this is the wave of the future for them, doesn't it seem like they should put some effort into doing it right and actually making it like a good experience for the buyer?
Yeah.
Well, here's my question. What do you think would make it better?
Well, as I was saying, Joel, normally pre-orders are supposed to have an incentive. It's an incentive for the consumer to pre-order it, which then in turn tells the companies, you know, whatever their product is, it gives them an estimate of how their sales are going, how the product is going to be moving, how, like, there's a lot that should go with that. So it's very strange to see a company that's this large fumble it so badly. Like, pre-orders should be the pre-order. It's almost like Kickstarter, right? Like, a lot of companies will launch on Kickstarter, not because they need it, but because it's a way to drive, you know, product sales and to get people to talk about it. It's kind of a weird way to use something like that. Kickstarter was supposed to be this for that. And it's kind of strange that pre-orders are now kind of weirdly not being used in the way that they were originally intended for. That's what I think is kind of strange from such a large company.
If I'm in a pre-order, I feel like I'm being punished. I don't feel like I'm being rewarded for my, like, if you're the business making me pre-order something, you should be rewarding me for putting my trust in you, that you're going to deliver on the product that you've promised me. If you're going to have a download code that comes with the needler or whatever, it should only come with the pre-ordered blasters. And if you buy the blaster later, it's the same price, but you don't get the code or something like that. Or you only get the special packaging if you pre-order it. Just something. There's got to be some kind of incentive.
I would say that the incentive would be that you're guaranteed to actually get one, but then we've seen every single one of these afterwards is basically just available sometimes at a discount on like Amazon.
Well, exactly. And that's what we thought that's what it was going to be. We thought that it was going to be, if you don't order it, it won't be available. And then they've made it seem like that. And then they've proven again and again that is not what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's really, it's upside down. It's kind of strange. I don't know the purpose or what they're thinking. And I saw, you know, about the whole Hasbro layoffs. I did read some of the stuff from comments and people online, you know, different things who were arguing about it back and forth of, you know, some people trying to say how you don't understand where businesses are and other people saying, like, how can't they get this right? Obviously, since we don't know what's kind of going on behind closed doors and what's happening, it's just strange, again, to see something that was kind of a tried and true method of how this works and then see them do it so poorly. It leaves a lot to question. What's going on? What are they trying to achieve? What are they trying to get out of this? What's their bottom line? We've even seen with the action figures, that a big argument I kept seeing was action figures that used to be $20 are now $35, $40, which, and then people are mad because they're like, but, you know, we have no incentive to pay that much for these as well. And if it's, I don't know if the action figures are having the same problem as we are with the limited line for blasters, where are they pre-ordering it and then not getting the incentives? Are they getting it later than other people? I'm not really sure, but it does leave a lot, you know, a question on the motive behind it and how they're kind of messing it up so much, at least on our end, how it looks like they're messing it up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, if they're saying this is the future, this and tabletop gaming, I guess, is the future of their business.
Yeah.
You got to do more. They just got to do more. But instead, you know, as they lean more into the licensing and the, you know, the tie-ins, they're giving us an Optimus Prime Jolt.
Yep.
With very unfortunate positioning of the T-pole in the action figure mode.
It is true.
Yeah, I didn't really want to mention that. in the in the news segment because obviously I was covering that one. And I did mention it as well in the news segment where it is the first one that's going, you know, from you know, robot to blaster, because before we never really had that. We just had paint themes, or we had the decals like the San Diego Comic-Con versions, or the two ones that would transform into just like hands that had blasters already being
right.
held. And,
right.
And so this is a first, which I think is cool. I think it would be cooler though, or really awesome if they could actually make it go robot vehicle blaster. If you could make a 3-in-1, you might have me sold. You might. That's harder, I know,
looked.
But
that is
I got
cool.
it wrong. It's the barrel, not the T-pole.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah,
which is almost worse.
it really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's questionable. But again, you know, I did say, I know that they are, because I believe the article was from CNET, if I remember correctly, where it was originally teased. They were even talking about how, you know, obviously there's a new movie coming out. So clearly they're trying to build up hype for a new film and so on. And maybe it's just one of those things where they're trying to pump out a product really quickly. Who knows?
Well, it's funny, too, that we're just seeing the one so far.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. You know what? That's not true. The part that we didn't cover about this is it's actually part of a product line of toys, but they turn into different things. There's one that turns
yes.
into like a mask, and there's one that turns into something else. I don't know. There's just Optimus Prime is the only one that turns specifically into a blaster.
That's
it's,
right.
It's also it's sometimes that they just do one-offs. Like not many people.
Yeah.
Noticed, but there have been a couple, like, what's it called? My brain's farting. It's that one, like, Japanese thing. What's that called? Not Kamen Rider, it's the other thing. Power Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers had a couple of
yes.
blasters, but they were always, like, one-offs.
That's
yeah,
really
right.
funny that you couldn't remember that because I grew up with Power Rangers.
Yeah,
like
so did I. That it was yeah. that one too. I remember seeing it. It was recent. Actually, I just saw it at a thrift store. There was like this one weird Power Rangers one, and it was just kind of came and went out of nowhere. And it was a fairly recent blaster, I think.
What the heck?
There was another one as well, but
okay.
they were like a year or two apart. So it's not like they were all one line. It's that every once in a while you'd get one.
Yeah.
So. Just looking through this article on the Transformer stuff again, and again, it's worth pointing out, similar to Dungeons and Dragons, this is a Hasbro owned IP. They own this IP. So when we get charged up for the IP, it's because they can charge us up for the IP. It's not because they have to pay a licensing fee to someone else.
Right.
Like with Marvel or whatever. But, so this one turns from blaster into robot. What's his name? Bumblebee and another one. Oh, Optimus Primal. They both turn into masks. And then additionally, there's an Optimus Prime Smash Changer. There's a bunch of Smash Changer ones where there's a robot, there's a vehicle, and you just like pump your fist on it and it busts into a robot. And it looks very similar to the blaster. Like, if I was digging through a thrift store, I would have to check which one it was.
Youch.
If I saw them. The robot forms look very similar.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's probably actually a good thing that I think about, because, I mean, aren't they supposed to be the same character?
Well, right, yeah, of course. Anyway, so yeah. I guess my takeaway still, if Hasbro thinks that licensing and direct-to-consumer sales is their future, they need to do better by their customers. That they just need to do better.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we can segue very gently into discussing the huge sea that is collected as a result of the leaks that have been coming our way. And we can tie this in by starting with Nerf's licensed leaks. Right now we have more Fortnite stuff, which looks to be maybe a new shell type, because it sounds like it might be one of the sniper rifles. One of them, at least, might be one of the sniper rifles. Storm Scout. So the two things were the Storm Scout and the Blue Scout. I put sort of...
It's actually the Blue Shock, not the Blue Scout.
Well, Blue Shock is what... Wait, are you telling me that the leak was called Blue Shock?
Yes, it says Blue Shock, not Blue Scout.
Oh. Did I just screw that up? Is that really the case? All right, well...
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Okay. All right, well, anyway... One of them is a sniper rifle. Listen, man, there's so many of these. There's these tiny little pictures. It's literally photographs of like
a target scanner or
store computer or a tablet or something. Storm Scout. Blue Shock. Yep. Nope, I totally got it wrong. Oh. All right. Well, that's fun.
Whoops.
Well, let's see. Well, let me look that up then. Okay, yeah. So Blue Shock is the wrap, but the leak doesn't say anything about what kind of blaster it could be.
That's true. Blue Shock, because remember, we did see that even with the Frosty, because they had the AR as well as the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
So even though it is a skin, it doesn't lead us down anything of what particular skin on what particular... blaster. Now again, I haven't played Fortnite, so I don't know if the skin is only on the AR. No idea, but we'll see, I guess.
Even if we did have a name, we might not know if it's a different version of that blaster, because if you look, some of the stuff where they've been doing these skins wraps have been similar models from the game, but it's a completely different blaster. Like the SMG Zesty, I'm assuming, would be similar to the SMG that was like a semi-auto.
Right.
Flywheeler that we got, but the Zesty is a Springer.
Mm-hmm. So in the previous round of leaks, we had a Nerf Fortnite Rad AR, which we suggested could be the... there's a specific wrap that has Rad in the name, the radiation themed wrap. But it says AR, right?
Yeah.
And that's how, because the Zesty has a longer name.
It's the SMG Zesty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we know what blaster it is. But this does not say what blaster it is. It's just a wrap name. So we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. And then beyond that, though, there's the Minecraft one, which I actually think is kind of interesting, because like I pointed out in the video, we've only had a micro shot of the Ender Dragon previously. And this looks like we're getting a $40 Ender Dragon blaster of some kind. What do y'all think that could be?
Honestly, I have no idea at this point. With the Dragon power line having all the dragons as blasters in so many various ways, it really could be anything.
Well, and that's why I thought it was funny that Palarin Dusk from Dungeons & Dragons just gets a jolt.
That's going to say it's a micro shot.
Yeah.
It's going to be a micro shot.
Yeah, $40 micro shot. Great.
Amazing.
You know, yeah, I mean, just it'd be our luck, that upsell. But, you know, it really could be anything. I mean, I don't know. We've seen a lot of really weird stuff coming from the Minecraft line.
That bow. You know,
yeah. Yeah,
like really, it's
that's
kind
true.
Of...
It's easy to think about it and be like, well, is it going to be a flywheeler or is it going to be a Springer? But like realistically, we have to think about stuff like the bow that we got recently, mm-hmm. and that was like the flywheeler bow, but you like pull the string to rev it. It's very, very strange.
The single shot sword.
Very strange stuff. So yeah. It could easily be that weird. I mean, we're just starting to see, I actually have it right here, the Dungeons and Dragons, the Red Dragon. It's literally right here. I'm holding it in my hand. I can't remember the dragon's name, but it's
Themberchod or whatever it was.
Themberchod, thank you. It has a rubberized tail that you like wrap around your arm. I haven't done my review on this yet, but it's very, very strange. And I feel like I like that they're interpreting characters in more playful ways. I really do like that. But at the same time, so far, I can't in good faith call this thing a good blaster. And so if the Ender Dragon goes in this direction, it's like, well, yeah, if you do something really cool and weird and creative, that's awesome. Please do it well.
I mean, it's just, I would say that I do like seeing them trying something new, at least with the D&D stuff. I think looks really cool. Like when I got to see them in person, I was like, the little two-shot one, I don't remember, it's that kind of turquoise dragon.
Rakor,
that's the one. I really liked it. I thought it looked cool. I was like, I like these kind of fun designs. Personally, I do. Because it reminds me of the old Max Force line.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true. Have you held one yet?
I've only seen it in the box. I haven't had it out of the box yet.
Spoiler alert for my coming review that I'm working on. Great if you're left-handed. Because the tail wraps around to the right side of the grip.
Oh.
And so if you hold it with your right hand, I'm doing it as if y'all can see me. As you hold it with your right hand, your palm hits the part of the tail and you can't hold the blaster straight. So if you point your arm out and you hold it in the way that's comfortable, it points off to the right at like a 30-degree angle and it hurts the back of your thumb. If you're left-handed and you hold it, it's actually reasonably comfortable. The tail stays out of the way of your hand and it actually works.
So what you're saying is it's an offhand blaster.
It is an offhand blaster.
Heck
if
yeah.
You're
well, at least for me, it's an offhand. But yeah.
It's kind of cool. The other thing that I think is relevant to this, another spoiler alert, I guess, for my upcoming reviews that I'm working on. But Elite Junior is a little bit baffling to me because I really like what they've done with the concept of the line. But what I don't understand is why we don't have things. We're talking about Max Force and we're talking about the dragon shaped stuff and we've got Dino Squad. Why are the kid blasters why do they just look like blasters? Why couldn't those be the Dino Squad Junior line?
I always felt that the Dino Squad was supposed to be like what Elite Junior is trying to be. It always seemed like it was targeted toward a younger age, and I don't know why they didn't just do that.
I would be so excited to convince people on Elite Junior power level, like Stego Smashes with a big grip on the back. Incredible product right there. That would be amazing.
Kids would love it too.
Kids would adore that.
I mean, like even, I'm looking at some of the old Max Force line, like while we're talking, like the Razor Fin, right? It was
beautiful blaster.
It was such a beautiful blaster. You could literally, you didn't even have to have a dart in it, and you could get the little, spines to flip up on its back and stuff, like on the top of it, This stuff is fun. I'm an adult, and I think it's fun. And
totally.
I have one, and I
can confirm it is fun. And comfortable, surprisingly.
Exactly. And it is very strange, and it is kind of, disheartening to hear that, obviously, kind of like you're saying, the kid line is more kind of just generic blasters as opposed to something more fun. And granted, we see the stuff from Roblox line. We see the stuff from the Minecraft line. We see stuff from the D&D line. And these are all, they might be goofy, but at least they're kind of more for the audience, right? You would think that that's more in line for the kids, but the ones for the kids are just kind of basic. It's kind of sad, really.
Even if they were just animal themed. Mm. Just make them jungle animals, make them fish or something,
Max
just something funny
Max
and silly.
2.0
insects. There've been multiple like freaking X-Shot did a bug attack line. They weren't shaped like insects, but they had like a theming to them and they had like Nickelodeon goop on them and stuff, And it's like, that would be so much more fun for kids of that age.
Same with the dino line that they did. They did their own dino version that had like eggs and stuff like that as well. And they had
they're still doing that.
They still have them. You have the little like blade on it type of thing for your melee attacks. Obviously they weren't rubber. You don't want to hit him. But it was, you know, the whole point was like you're attacking the dinosaurs, the little eggs and stuff. It was on brand. It was themed. Like it was fun, right?
Yeah.
So
one last license thing to mention. I was really surprised to see that the license for Avatar, this gigantic, how much money does this movie cost? Ridiculously high budget movie.
Ridiculous amount of money.
The toy license for like a foam launching toy went to Zing, who make, for anyone not familiar, they make bows that use elastic, like surgical tubing type elastic to launch these arrows. They go far. They're dangerous. I mean, most, even though sort of the Nerf hobby sort of like sees it as like a tangential thing, they're actually banned at most games because the velocity and the weight of the projectile itself, and the projectile usually has like hard plastic parts on it. They're not safe for shooting at people.
What the issue is they use like the hard foam.
Yeah.
Like not the soft foam. Like we're talking demolisher rocket head foam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They use demolisher rocket foam, but they shoot at like so many more times the velocity.
These things will go over 100 feet easy.
And plus they've got the Whistler heads on like the side of the foam in hard plastic, and stuff like that going on. But if
the
you're
suction
into...
ones are a little safer, but even then they have the possibility, I've seen, when they get damaged, the plastic shaft can go through them.
Yes, that is also true. But if you buy a lot of Nerf lots on Craigslist, like some people I know, like me and Vile and Jolt probably.
I've never actually owned a Zing bow.
Well, you do wind up with them. You just wind up with them, and like they're fun to play with. Like I got a big field here. I'll go out there and just launch a bunch of arrows, lose some in the woods. If you're into flinging foam and trying to shoot stuff far, like you can just go out and shoot stuff far, and they work really well. I don't know. What do y'all think about a company like this getting a license like this?
It's very strange.
I would assume it's the company that makes the most sense.
Not necessarily, because Nerf and Hasbro has made many bows before. I mean, we saw the D&D bow. Rebel had a ton of them. You know, it's not, they may not have the distance like the Zing, but it is like KT was saying, this is almost a $500 million movie. This is our franchise, you know. So it's kind of strange that of all of them, it's Zing and not one of the other kind of more traditional dart blasters out there. You know, and I mean, you could say that it makes sense because of the distance that the Zing arrows can go, but it's still kind of questionable. I don't know. I would look at it almost like a Dude Perfect bow, or
that's another one that really is for target shooting and not for shooting other people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like if you're going to go with that, like nothing says that Hasbro hasn't made something similar. It's just very surprising that Zing, which has some stuff that does pop up in the hobby, but kind of like KT was saying as well, it's usually banned at most events, is kind of surprising to get kind of first licensing on this over a lot of other ones. It's just,
I would argue that it makes more sense, because hear me out here. I look at Avatar and I don't see a kids movie. Hasbro wants to make toys for kids, not for adults. So it makes sense that Hasbro would pass over this license, because the market there is probably a lot smaller than other like more kid oriented franchises.
Hold on though. Cause does Hasbro not want to make kids for adults? You know, we just talked about how they're trying to lean into direct consumer marketing. I feel like getting a license like this would make a lot of sense for them, because they would make. Is there something? Was someone who was dealing with the licensing with this wanting it to be like more of a sport product and didn't want to do a collector's product for some reason? Because that's the only reason Hasbro wouldn't wind up with the license, because theoretically, at least, they could really sell a limited series Avatar bow.
But how many people would buy that?
Well, I don't know.
I wonder.
I mean, how many people bought the Dude Perfect bow, though?
How many people bought the Aliens pulse rifle?
Exactly.
I would... that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
And it is something like that. Like, the only thing I could potentially see is if we do look at a lot of the tie-ins that that Hasbro has, like, you know, Nerf in general, it's Marvel, it's, you know, a lot of different stuff, things that are actually owned by Disney. So if you look at kind of like the major company that owns it, I've noticed that a lot of the tie-in, didn't Nerf do a tie-in with like Mulan or something like that too?
Yes, there was a Mulan bow.
Yeah,
I kept seeing it at like TJ Maxx.
Yeah, same. I kept seeing it somewhere. But what I see is that they do a lot of tie-ins with Disney. Maybe it's one of those things where it's just Hasbro themselves, like as a corporation, works with Disney, or maybe there's some kind of deal. Because Avatar is 20th century, so maybe that has something right to do with it.
That's true.
But isn't 20th Century Fox literally owned by Disney?
I do my best to know as little about this as possible. So
yeah, same.
I have no idea. I mean, I know that there was a merger thing. So I mean, I assume they are related. But here, look at this. Look, the magic of the internet. Is Avatar owned by Disney? That's literally all we want to know. From the beginning, Disney, which won the rights to Avatar with its acquisition of 21st Century Fox in 2019, has woven promotion for The Way of the Water into its other IP.
So, who knows then?
So, yeah, it is Disney.
Yeah, they got him only a few years ago. So that's, I don't know, you know. Again, it's kind of surprising.
You were onto something there for a minute there, Vile, because I remember if you'll look at some other licenses like Universal, where they did the Jurassic World movies, and Dart Zone got the license for those.
What other has Dart Zone had any other licenses?
Not to my knowledge. I think it was just Jurassic
That's
World.
That's the only one I can think of. And we got the three blasters, right? Blue and the one that jammed for me a lot, and the pro one.
The Pyroraptor and
Pyroraptor.
Pro. That's the one that jammed for me a lot. And the Jurassic Pro.
I think it was just those three, yeah.
Okay. It is time for Name That Blaster. Or What's That Blaster, or whatever I called the game. This week, it is Vile's turn to pick an official Nerf blaster from any point in Nerf's history and read us the official description of that blaster with the ammo type and the name of the blaster removed. And for me and Jolt to attempt to guess what that blaster is. If we are not able to figure it out right away, we have three potential lifelines we can ask for. One of them is the original year of release of the blaster. The other one is the official original stock capacity. And the final one is the original retail price. Last week, Jolt picked the Snapfire Delta.
Sharpfire Delta.
Oh, come on. See, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is now. The Sharpfire Delta, and we came close, but we did not guess it, despite using a couple lifelines. The week before that, our first episode, I picked the Diatron, and Jolt immediately knew what it was. But this week, I get to benefit from Jolt's encyclopedic knowledge of Nerf's history as we attempt to guess Vile's.
Hear it in Vile's voice. He's out for revenge.
And of course, as we do this, keep track of your score at home and let us know if you are also guessing along and how you're doing, if you're able to get it before we do and score those extra sweet points. Because, of course, for every lifeline that we use, we lose one of our four potential points. Vile, what you got for us?
All right. Yes. All right. All right. Intimidating? Definitely. Impressive? Absolutely. Huge, powerful, and fast. The Nerf blank blaster blisters the battlefield with motorized blank blasting. This is a blaster that demands attention and gets it. Power up the motor and pull the trigger to send a Nerf blank dart whistling through the air. It has a blank removable clip and comes with blank official Nerf blank darts. So many blanks. So you can fire blank darts in a row before it's time to reload. So what are you waiting for? Start blasting. Load darts into the clip and insert the full clip into the blaster. Hold down the acceleration button to rev the motor and pull the trigger to fire one dart. Pull the trigger and again to fire another dart. Strike big and strike fast with the Nerf blank blaster.
Okay.
I have.
So it's mag-fed. It's motorized.
I have a guess. I have a very decent guess.
What are you thinking, Joel? What are you thinking?
It's very obviously a flywheeler. What gets me here is that it's big and intimidating, right? Makes me think mega. What makes me think mega more is the darts whistling. So I'm going to go with the moto strike. That's my guess.
Okay. Is that... Yeah, because it has to be mag-fed.
Which it is. It is indeed magazine-fed.
All right. Before we do that, I'm trying to think. The only other whistling dart option that could be mag fed is Ultra, which would be the blue.
Except the Strike, which was the magazine fed one that had. And the Amp. Those came with AccuStrike and regular Ultra. Respectively.
Well, that's why I'm saying there's the one that was like the adapt. Oh, that was
because both the Screamer ones were revolvers.
Yeah, they were revolvers because it was the Ultra 2 reimagined into like a bigger blaster.
Yeah, the Scream Machine, and was a version of the Ultra 1 that was Screamer.
The Scream Machine, that's what it was called, the Scream Machine. My only concern is that is exactly the type of thing that Vile might pick.
Oh, most definitely. He's out for revenge.
If it whistles, the only whistling ammo types were old whistlers.
What really makes me think it's not that is it being both a flywheeler, semi-automatic, and magazine fed. Because the only things that would have been like semi-automatic with like whistler darts is the barricade, and that's not mag fed.
Right. It's not mag fed.
Even things like the mag strike, which take clips, that's full auto.
I'm willing to go with this. I that makes sense to me. Because I miss the whistling. Because I definitely heard motorized. I definitely heard mag fed. I knew it was blank darts, which could like when you hear blank darts, it could just be elite. But like it seemed like it kept coming back so much that it had to be. A different type of dart. And I hear you, especially on the intimidating part.
It's also definitely
bigger,
a recent
intimidating
blaster because they say official Nerf darts. I think they've only started saying that recently.
That's true. Okay.
Didn't they say that actually on older darts too? I thought that was part of their thing for the end.
No, because like
line,
more
it?
Recently, I mean, like in the last since like maybe what was it 2020? They've started putting only use official Nerf darts as one of their big marketing things on the side.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Joel, if you're confident,
I'm semi-confident, but I'm also very worried that Vile is he's probably grinning right now.
I can't think of. Because, like, it's very well known that the only mega magazine blasters are the Moto Strike and the Centurion.
And the Heavy SR and the Busby Boss. Well, we're not going with Busby.
But you're right, the Heavy SR as well. But the only flywheeler is definitely the MotoStrike. I'm really trying to rack my brain for any other kind of whistling dart.
I can't think of anything else that would go in this and fit.
Okay. All right. I'm down if you're down.
All right. Final answer, MotoStrike.
We are correct. It is the MotoStrike. Yeah. I wanted to try to keep you both, because I knew Jolt was probably going to know this one, but I wanted it with the whistling darts because I knew that was probably going to be the only one, like the only little key part that might get your brain racking a little bit.
Yeah. Clearly it was.
Yes, the whistling darts was the biggest one.
Okay, well, that means, so the way it works is the two people who are guessing get points. So for me and Jolt, that's 4 points each. So that means that Vile and I are both at 4 points and Jolt is at 8. Because nobody has used a lifeline and then got it correct yet. We have so far, basically Jolt has known immediately what everything is. So we're going to have to start challenging Jolt a little more.
You guys are going to pick the most obscure crap, aren't you?
Well, you're making it so we have to.
That's fair, actually.
So moving on and continuing with the leaks, it seems like everybody is trying to go pro now. We got leaks from Dart Zone through Target, as well as X-Shot and... Well, I guess the Dart Zone, one of the Dart Zone things was confusing, and Vile, you and I were talking about this, because it says Covert Ops, which is usually their full-length dart thing, but it said Covert Ops, and it also said Max in the same description.
I think the...
I had a feeling,
doesn't
though,
the description for the Max Striker also say it? Covert Ops, though? I think it does.
Does it? Well, the Striker also can do full-length, though, can't it?
Yes, the Striker can.
Yeah, so if you were to look at it, and that's the problem, is the name is Max Outlaw, and it could
maybe it's hybrid, maybe it's also hybrid.
That was where I was kind of confused.
Okay, so Dart Zone Covert Ops is the actual branding on Target's website. I'm looking right here. It actually says shop all Dart Zone Covert Ops under the Dictator. So I think that's just
now the one brand. Now, if you look at the full length darts, it actually says Covert Ops on it. Now, if you search Covert Ops, it just pulls up Dart Zone's product. So that was the problem that I was having, was when I was originally looking and writing it up, I couldn't quite find any clue as to what that could be, which was why I kind of left it open. And the same thing, the Dart Zone. Covert Ops is going under all of these blasters that are all full length. And I do see, like, for the Dictator, it does say Covert Ops on it as well. But that's like the only one from Dart Zone that is half length only. So that's where the speculation part really came in. Because I was like, okay, when you look at the Dart Zone, full length box, it does actually say on the initial listing Dart Zone Covert Ops 200 count darts,
right?
And then it's kind of difficult because there's not really much to go off of other than that. There's only one in the lineup that is half length only, and that's just really the Dictator. But it, because it has a name, like Max Dictator and obviously Max Striker, Max Outlaw could be another one of the pro lines, and then the other one could be obviously one of the, like, something similar to the Vulcanator or like Speed Drum or whatever.
Speed Drum.
Which is a possibility. But again, the form and functionality, is it half dart only? Is it full length? Is it going to be, exactly pro line, or is it going to be, there's a lot to speculate on it, because the price range as well is actually cheaper. It was $32 was the high end one, which was if I remember correctly, wasn't that the Max Outlaw? I believe, I don't remember, but the other one was like $25. That's a really low price for pro line stuff. That
okay,
would be
so the
close...
Thunderbolt, which is the non-max one, is $25, and the Max Outlaw is $32.
And that is confusing because, again, if you look at the pro lines, we're, at least from Target, most of their stuff is $50 and up on pro level stuff. And when you look at the Vulcanator, that's, That's a double mag-fed flywheeler, you know, blaster. And then, you know, so that, and that's right around the $30 price range. So it was kind of, it's really, yet again, speculation. Is it going to be a flywheeler? Is it going to be is the Max Outlaw going to be like a pistol version of something for the Pro Line? Because even then on the Pro Line from Target, the MK2 was like an $80 pistol.
Right.
You know, when it first came out, it was actually quite expensive for what
my money is on an Aeon reskin. That's what my money would be on, because the Aeon was $25, and that's with Walmart subsidization or whatever. So adjusted for inflation, it would make sense.
That's a gap in the Target Dart Zone offerings currently. So
that's very true, because your Striker is for your Nexus Pro. The Dictator is definitely a conquest. Yeah. Like, obviously, it's an updated. Both of them are updated from Walmart. Basically, Walmart gets its first dibs, and then Target's kind of getting the second lineup of whatever reskin of it, if you will. So yeah, Aeon is actually a really good call.
Yeah. Well, anyway, almost more interestingly, X-Shot has these two new lines, it seems like. One of them is the Insanity series, and I mean, like, I don't know what that is. It's probably just it's the Manic, the Mad Mega Barrel Blaster, and the Motorized Age Fire. And that sounds like if you look at like the Hyper line or the Dino Squad original line, right? It's like you got the one-shot pistol and you have like either like a shotgun thing or a barrel thing or something like that as like a bigger springer. And then you have a motorized blaster, a flywheeler. And this sounds like that traditional sort of like triad of blasters to like start out a new series with. So I think that this might just be their new sort of mainline series.
It could be.
It could be.
Right? Just
because they've been clearly wanting to reorient what they've been doing, because they redesigned their dart. If you'll notice, the biggest change is those darts, because the new ones have actual more similar to normal dart tips, because the old X-Shot darts, the main reason they never did flywheelers, I suspect, is because their dart tips didn't compress in that manner. And now we're seeing possibly a flywheeler in this lineup, and that makes me think that's may have been why they redesigned their darts, is to open up that possibility.
I did testing. I also did testing on their darts when I got them, those redesigned ones, and surprisingly, they're comparable. I would still say there are some better options out there, but for a flywheeler, at least in you know, like I was comparing them with Waffles. Comparatively, they weren't that far off. They were a little bit lower. I don't have a way to weigh them, but I suspect they're a slightly bit
almost
lighter weight than, say, a Waffle. But they still performed relatively good in a flywheeler setup. So I'm seeing that one, the $50 one, the motorized Age Fire, that definitely could be X-Shot's, you know, foray into flywheelers, which is definitely something they've been missing in their
lineup.
They
have never done a flywheeler, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Maybe even more interesting is the Pro Series 1 Sinister. You know, I just realized they all... Insanity. What if Series 1... I can't figure out what the 1 is for. There's a 1 in every single one of these. And I wonder if it's like Insanity Series 1 and Pro Series 1. I don't know. Speculating. Anyway, X-Shot now has a blaster leaked with Pro in the name. I feel like this is going somewhere obvious.
Now we've got the big four now, because Nerf Pro is the stupid gel fire crap. Dart Zone Pro obviously is a thing. Buzzbee Pro technically exists in the form of the Trion, because the Trion is made in Buzzbee's factories.
Right.
And now we've got X-Shot Pro.
Well, is Nerf Pro that, or is Nerf Pro? Because I think
Nerf
their
Pro
attempt
the
at Pro is. I think it's Hyper though.
No, literally, it's Nerf Pro Gelfire.
Oh, it actually is. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it actually has that in the name.
Speaking of gel. Yeah. That said,
well, but here's the thing. Well, no, we don't have to speak of gel.
X-Shot's making X-Shot them, and no one cares.
Gel blasters. Boom. Conversation done. But there is also another hyperleak, and I think that that's relevant here because even though Pro is not in the name, Hyper has been their attempt at booting a new, because originally Rival was their Pro line, and now with the realization that like half-length darts perform in most situations, like long-distance situations, better than Rival. Obviously, Rival still has a lot of amazing uses, but Hyper seemed to be their attempt to make a new like Pro line, and they're sticking to their blasters on this one
because it's just about as bad as Rival, if not worse. With all, it's basically got all of the issues with Rival, and it doesn't feed well, so it's got an additional issue.
You know, I always wondered, to be honest, with the Hyper line, if it was an attempt to go between Rival and Airsoft.
Yeah,
because you know, obviously, gel kind of took over from the rubber Airsoft, you know, BBs and stuff like that. And Hyper was kind of like an in between. It's somewhere strangely in the middle there, where it's not the large Rival, which it's got its pros. I like, you know, Rival is fantastic in a lot of games for a lot of different types of events. You know, obviously we've had a ton of stuff we can do with Rival. Hyper, it was weird. It was high capacity, which is a very Airsoft type of thing, having a very, very large capacity and a small form factor. And obviously they didn't really do very much for flywheelers other than the original, you know, flagship that they started with. Everything else has basically just been hopper fed springers. And I don't know if maybe that was something they were trying to get into and dip their toe in, but maybe they're just having trouble with the ammo type. Because like Jolt was saying, you know, they jam repeatedly, or, you know, even the flywheeler one, I remember seeing the initial, you know, reviews of it and watching as hypers were just falling within a couple of feet, you know, like you'd have a few actually fly off and then a couple would just drizzle out of the blaster. Yeah. And it was
pretty embarrassing. Honestly.
Not to mention the inconsistent rate of fire, and it sounded like it was trying to kill itself.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't mind the blasters personally. As a modder, there is a lot you can do. They actually still use a lot of the same stuff as Rival. So the stuff inside of it is very similar spring weights, very similar plunger tubes, very similar. So there's a lot of mod potential. So for us who are doing that, that's, you know, that just gives us more, and they're not bad blasters per se when it comes to ergonomics, like especially the ergonomics are really good. It's just, it's unfortunately just a hyper, which has been banned. Well,
the ammo is such
problem.
A failure on every front. It doesn't perform well. It
sticks to itself.
Yeah, it sticks to itself. It doesn't load in almost any mechanism well. And there's for solid.
It doesn't help that they're inconsistent. They're not even perfectly round most of the time.
That is also true. But they're also like they're hard to clean up, and they've been banned everywhere. And it's like it just, you know, feels like they didn't think this one through. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're not small like an Airsoft BB where you can just leave them. Which, I mean, you shouldn't, but people do. But also, they're not as big as a Rival round where you can scoop them up easily.
There are two things that they did well. One is durability. They're basically indestructible unless you like put them in the lawnmower or something. And the other thing was that I believe they glow if you put them under a black light.
Yeah, a bunch of us were doing testing on that early on, and they do fluoresce some under a black light, and you can use that to hunt them down. I've actually done that out in the bushes in my yard when I was testing Hyper early on. But it's a lot to have to carry. So, like, already if I go to a game, I carry my little laundry basket thing that folds up to put darts in. I carry my grabber arm thing to pick up darts off the ground. I also carry the nut gatherer for Rival. So now I got to carry a UV flashlight too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're just adding more. It's just too much.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have, there's so many ammo types already. Like, and enough of them are bad, but fun. I don't need one that's also bad and unfun.
Right.
Like, rockets are bad, but they're really fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting game types with them as well. That's the thing is, I'm a huge fan of large ammo types, Mega XL, you know, Demolisher rockets. I love large ammo types. They're just ridiculously fun. And they have special cases. Hyper just, it doesn't fit really in a lot of the stuff, you know. And even, you know, some people originally were saying, oh, well, we could potentially use that in indoor events. That also kind of raises its own, you know, safety problems because they're round and people are running and they're going to be stepping on these, especially if you're, if you got the motorized one and you're just dumping them everywhere. Now you've just got tripping hazards and potential of sliding.
I would argue they're no worse than rival rounds.
Well,
at that,
they're not actually, because if you step on a properly made rival round, it will squish enough that your foot is making contact with the ground. If you step on a hyper round, that doesn't necessarily happen. Like, you can kind of high center on a hyper round, especially on a group of hyper rounds, where they're all small enough and firm enough that they'll slip. The same thing happened when people started getting the headshot ammo that was way too hard. That stuff will do the same thing. It's firm enough. Some of it, I have some that's firm enough that if you stand on it, your foot will roll around. And hyper can kind of do that too, because the material it's made of is so much more firm than a rival round.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Yeah, that's been my experience, just like cleaning up around the shop and stuff, because I obviously haven't played with hyper anywhere out, but I've noticed that in the shop. I don't know, whatever. Out of all of this, I think I'm most excited to see what X-Shot calls a Pro Blaster.
Yeah, X-Shot's been doing really good recently. Yeah. The skins line's really cool. Even some of the reskins of blasters we've already seen just gives them something cooler now. Like, they look fun. And now seeing a Pro Series is definitely... and even just the non-Pro Series one, just seeing these new lineups that they've got is interesting. I'm curious.
Well, and Joel and I were just talking about the, what is this thing called, Joel? I've got it in my hand, but I don't remember what it's called. The little teeny tiny one that takes half darts?
The Menace.
The Menace. And these have been around for a bit, but I just finally got my hands on a couple of them. And it's like, what a, like it's a Jolt killer. Like, how did,
absolutely,
they haven't even made like a new shell for months, and they've got this sort of like throwaway product, and it's freaking, it's great. So,
incredible.
I'm
the best,
I'm very
pocket
hopeful.
Size pistol you can buy.
Totally. And the skins look really cool. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful from X-Shot. I'm excited to see a bunch of potentially brand new things, because, you know, the last handful of products we've gotten from them have been reskins of their old products.
I mean, that's literally just their entire business model is reskins of old products. It always kind of has been.
Totally. Well, we'll see if that changes a little bit. Moving on, we got a few community topics we want to chat about, starting with Silly Butt's new shroud for the Colonel Wasp 76 vial. We literally threw this in the show at the last second because it just got announced today, right?
As a release, yeah.
Yeah, official. The official release was today, and we were just talking about how the shell of the blaster, the normal look of the blaster, is Val. Why don't you explain this?
So anybody who doesn't know, the 76 is based off of a World War II like actual firearm. If you've looked at it, it is clear plastic, but it has the same barrel shroud and everything to look like a particular World War II firearm. And a lot of people didn't like it. I know there's a lot of community members that really dislike it for that reason. But the front barrel was removable. And that's where this design and this new update is actually really good. I kind of mentioned it in my little clip. I said it's a much needed facelift. And the functionality of the blaster is fantastic. I think it's a really good, especially for those who aren't familiar with AEB or AEGs, we call them AEB for, you know, automatic electronic blaster, as opposed to, you know, gun, for obvious reasons. But, you know, it came out and it seemed kind of weird because it has a, again, it was supposed to be based off of this World War II era thing, but it had a buffer tube stock and it had an AR, you know, type grip that was interchangeable on it. And it just looked kind of odd and goofy, but the creator actually likes it for cosplay reasons. And again, a lot of people didn't really like it for that same reason.
Yeah,
so
that's not great.
Yeah. Well, we won't go too far into it, but it's been something that we've all been looking at for redesigning of the front shroud. And there are body kits out there, but unfortunately, a lot of the original creators who were making these body kits that we were seeing were out of China. They weren't necessarily, you know, kind of outside of that area. So a lot of this we were kind of getting as leaks through people like Monkey Mods and stuff like that. And we would see some, you know, individuals tease them, and we never quite got these new shrouds or body kits for this blaster. But Silly took it an extra step. Not only did he make a really nice barrel shroud, but also made the original barrel static, because from what I understand, at least because I own one, I was the only person here who actually had one in hand to show on camera. The barrel reciprocates, and when the pusher moves forward and loads a dart, it loads the dart, and then the entire dart gate and shroud, or the entire dart gate and barrel, excuse me, moves forward with it, and then it seats, fires, and then returns back. It's kind of a weird, complicated motion, and if I remember correctly, the theory behind it was it gives a little bit of extra time of sealing of the pusher to the dart gate or the breech, and that was supposed to help with performance, but it instead caused accuracy issues. It caused the barrel to wobble around. It's very difficult to kind of correct that, and Silly did find that you don't actually need that, and it didn't really give a performance upgrade, but it gave an accuracy increase because the barrel wasn't as wobbly. So I'm actually very interested in printing one of these. I also like it because Silly even added, and I think Silly took this as well because somebody asked about it, was the top Picatinny rail actually goes the entire length of the shroud and then goes the entire top length of the blaster, because the blaster doesn't come with one. So Silly really did, and actually I was reading over some of the write-up on GitHub, also made a lot of the panel lines and the shroud match some of the contours of the blaster shell, which is just really cool. This is a really big win for me, actually. I think it's a nice add-on for this particular blaster.
Sweet. I mean, it sounds like how the product should have been.
Yeah, it kind of should have been. It's a very long product as well. Like, if you get one in hand and you have your buffer tube and all of that, it gets really long as a blaster. And having that barrel be reciprocating back and forth, you had to account for an extra couple, where, you know, almost an extra inch and a half worth of movement. So being able to keep it stationary was kind of nice. It also allowed a quick change collet. So it allows you to change your barrel lengths very quickly, which was also a very nice feature. Beforehand, it was just kind of grub screwed into place, and you had to have a Allen key to remove it, and you had to have a replacement dart gate that you had to glue your barrels into, which makes them, you know, you can't use the barrel in anything else at that point. So I think Silly really helped anybody who has one make the blaster much more user-friendly.
It kind of makes me want to get one now. Like, it's not the kind of thing that I ever would have considered getting before, but knowing that I could do, yeah. like what was the other blaster that I didn't even that what's that Adventure Force hopper fed dart blaster,
the Matrix Fire?
Yeah, I didn't even consider getting a Matrix Fire until the mag conversion kit came out. And I ordered one, and I haven't done the mod yet, but like, my Matrix Fire is like sitting in a bin just waiting to get modded. I didn't even do a review on it. I was just like, I just want, like, this is like the easiest way for me to get like a goofy, like, high speed full auto blaster going. Let's just do it, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, it should have just, like, I see what you're trying to do with the hopper thing, but like, it doesn't really work. So similarly, I didn't want this until now. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a really cool thing now.
I've played around with one, the 76, I mean. It's a lot of fun. The biggest gripe that I really had with it is how much distance there is between the grip and the magwell. It's like regulator levels of way too much space in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the blaster being very, very like long. It's a very long blaster. Again, there are people who are trying to design body kits and things like that to change the placement of the grip and so on. But some of them are very in-depth for how much you have to mod it, and some are literally just a bolt-on kit, and that's it. You know, it's kind of like a weird rabbit hole. You kind of have to start getting into, like, Monkey Mods server has a channel dedicated to that, and there's a lot of people who share information over there if you're interested. And it is nice. I will say I am glad, because a lot of times stuff that comes out of China like that, they don't really have to worry about toy laws like we do, like orange tips or orange blasters or the silhouettes as much. And that was another big concern. Well, what you can do actually in the photo that Silly had posted, it was an orange barrel shroud, but as well, you can now order the 76 instead of a clear plastic. It's a translucent orange plastic. So that actually just adds to the blaster being a much more bright, you know, orange color. You can actually, so it's not as intimidating looking, obviously. You'd be closer to be like, say, a Nexus level, you know, because it's much more bright in color and it's not as intimidating with the original front barrel shroud that it had and stuff.
That does help. That does help for sure. All right. Well, that sounds like an exciting step forward for that. And the community took a lot of little steps forward. Like I'm stepping through this segue with the Rival Pilot. So I think we all kind of knew when we saw the Rival Pilot that there was a lot of potential there. And now we all have them, and the community has sort of exploded with support for this new platform for sort of like various forms of signal shot modding and inline clips and all these things. What have each of us done already with our personal Rival Pilots?
So I have done very little, but still a decent amount. So the main thing that I discovered is that if you file down a little bit on the plunger rod, you can flip the plunger head. And if you flip it around, it lets you prime the blaster without opening the breech, but it still has so that if you pull it down all the way, it will open the breech. But it's like the Nerf Rival Fate, if that makes any sense, where you can prime it without releasing it if you want to.
That's great, actually. That was such a big discovery. I remember when you found that out. I want to do one of mine that way. Because you're using
for things like inline clips.
Because the only thing that I've done so far is I printed a couple of. We did not figure out if it's pronounced Nebuser or Nebuker, but the user on Thingiverse who's made all these shells. There's a few different people who've made shells now, but I printed out a few of those and have been experimenting with them, and it's really, really fun to be able to just have a pistol, drop an adapter in, and shoot anything you want out of it, more or less. And being able to prime it without popping the thing would be really, really nice. So I need to sit down and do your plunger head mod on one of them.
Looks like Nebuker isn't the only one who's done shells.
Oh, really?
I literally just got pinged by someone in rNerf, the rNerf Discord, and it looks like Foam Blasted over on Instagram has designed ultra shells.
Nice. You're
glorious.
Set. All right, one of us will have to print them and send them to you,
I
guess.
I have a barrel that I can put in to fire ultra.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you do.
Of course. I mean, what else am I going to do with mine, even if Axel beat me to it?
Right. Well, okay, and so Vile has had them open on... Actually, if you watch the episode, of course, Vile's got one on the table just the whole time.
Yeah, you've been seeing me as I've been slowly modding it through all of the new segments.
Well, so why don't you tell the folks what you've been working on?
So I actually have two. The first one I did some initial testing on it, and it's still mostly stock. But what I did find is the Forerunner is the other one that recently came out, the blaster, the pump action. I think Walcom's review video showed a hole that was behind the hop-up tab as a relief hole. And what I did was I actually drilled some holes behind the hop-up tab. And I was testing it. Actually, I was on, I think, VC with Jolt when I was doing it. And I was testing it. And I actually had slightly better results on consistent FPS numbers. Like, they went up by, like, one or two pretty regularly and held really well. So that was an interesting little discovery. But then what you've been watching me work on is this two-shot mega AR pistol mod. This is a KT. KT's been waiting for this, and I'm sorry, KT, I haven't done my mod guide yet. I need to.
I bought a Fate just to do this. And now you just moved on, and you're doing it to the pilot now.
Okay, when I do my mod video, I'm actually going to be building another Fate just so you can see all the work that goes into it. But I like to do the Mega AR mods, and I took the three-shot AR from the, the dual strike? That was originally had the three-shot Elite and then the three-shot Mega. So I used those red barrels. I cut the bottom barrel off and closed it up. And I just got done attaching the, I cut up the barrel. I've been cutting the shell to get it to fit. And I've connected the barrel now, to the AR. And I actually did my initial test firing, which was kind of abysmal. It was pretty bad, I'm not going to lie. But for y'all that, if y'all haven't heard about the Fate one, it was a four-shot AR, and my first barrel hits at about 120 FPS for a mega dart, which is insane. Yeah. And then I think the last barrel hit still in the mid-80s, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was. On this one, the first barrel was hitting in the high 60s. It was like 67,
ouch,
68. And the second barrel was like 48. And I was like, oh, I found I've got like a bunch of leaks in the AR that I've got to go through and clean up and a couple of other things. But there is some testing that I'm doing with spring lengths, because I found that K25 can fit almost 14 coils worth of K25 in this plunger tube. If you don't know how long that is, that's over 7 inches of spring.
Well, it's longer than the spring they got in there, right? Yeah.
Oh, by a lot. It's a lot of K25 can fit in there. But what I think is, and this is something that Jolt and has talked a lot about, because we've talked a lot with Gameface and the engineer. People complained about the slot that's in the plunger tube, but that slot is actually designed there as a speed hole. Quite literally, it is supposed to allow for the spring and the plunger to start getting up to a certain speed, and it vents the air out before it actually starts making a seal. And I actually tried this. I tested it. I taped up that slot, and I tried it on a stock pilot, the other one that I have. And I actually lost about 6 FPS, 6 to 8. It is there by design. I know a lot of people are frustrated because they think that cubic centimeters matter of how big the plunger tube is, but that slot is actually there for a reason. When you start putting in heavier spring loads like K25, I've heard of people who put long shot springs. I've heard of some other stuff. Understand that anything that you change in the system, whether it's your spring weight, whether it's your barrels, whether it's the dart type or ammo, or in my case, like an AR, the plunger tube and spring are going to have to change. So either closing up that slot or, changing the length of that spring is actually going to make a difference to optimize it. So that is stuff that I'm going through and testing. And I've found it's really interesting. It's taken me a long time, but I'm finding it interesting the more I dive into it, especially with the information that the engineer from Gameface was telling us about these these actual designed features like that.
What do y'all think it is about blasters like this and, to a lesser degree, the Fate, but also the Knockout before it, that really sort of open them up for such immediate adoption? Because you know, I feel like the Knockout had a similar experience, but this feels almost stronger. Is it like the break action giving just sort of more immediate access, like before you even take it apart? Or what do you think makes this so appealing?
I think it is that break action. I the first thing I thought of, because I have a Colonel Wasp Firefly, the Monkey Mods shotgun, and those shotgun shells, I looked at it and was like, oh, these could absolutely work in here. And the first thing that came to mind was shell mods. Whether it was, I've seen, I think there's a mod for Flypoint shells. There's a mod for the
Axel did
Firefly.
Did the Firefly shells.
Yeah, the Firefly shells.
They did that.
Yeah, there's now printed ones that just drop right into the stock barrels. It was just, I mean, I saw this and I instantly knew that the community was going to go ham with it.
Jolt, was there anything else that you saw?
There was no reason for it.
When you were looking around, putting your I love the way you did the segment this time around. Just sort of like showing sort of the overall creativity of the community and how quickly we can adapt to stuff. Was there anything else that you saw that didn't make it in the episode?
I saw a lot of people just singling it with various barrel material, like aluminum.
Fair enough.
And things like that. That seemed to be a fairly common mod.
I really like the modular. See, I really prefer a lot of the more modular concepts. Like the shells, like the drop-in shells and stuff that just allow you to change what it is all the time.
Well, you don't even have to change the blaster. It opens the door for people who aren't going to the extent like, say, I am, where I'm like cutting up a brand new blaster and I'm going to the, you can literally just keep it stock and just put these 3D printed shells, whether you print them yourself, whether you get a friend to print them, buy them on Etsy, it doesn't really matter where you get a hold of them, and you can change up your ammo
totally
on the fly without even having to open it up. You don't even have to own a screwdriver to do that. That is kind of where I think this goes a step further than the Knockout or the Fate did.
Well, and I think that's so important to have those kinds of, that's one of the things that's nice about this sort of modern era of Nerf modding, is that there are so many really accessible things that you can do that are interesting, and you're still learning something about how they work, but so easy to do. Like literally just taking a 3D printed part and slapping it in and messing around and seeing what it can do. I think that's really, really valuable just in terms of growing the hobby and convincing people that this is interesting, that it's worthwhile, that it's fun and exercise and educational and all these really great things, is just having really accessible entry points into modding.
There's got to be a starting point, and a blaster like this really makes that starting point very easy. And that's what I will say, because you know, especially younger audiences, you know, opening a blaster that you only have one of, if you don't have any money or something like that, seeing something that's as easy as, you know, oh, well, I've got some PVC that's sitting in the back. I can just shove that in there with some electrical tape. That's easy. And, you know, and they don't have to be scared about it. Cause a lot of kids I've noticed, and younger audiences, like I said, can be very scared. And the entry point now is so easy that you don't have to break, damage, destroy, or, you know, or even really have that extensive of knowledge. They're making it much more easy for us. It's, I have a feeling that the engineers love to see what we do, but obviously due to legalities, they obviously can't cheer us on.
I have it on good secondhand word that generally speaking, they do.
Yeah.
This is a thing I have heard from people who talk to the engineers regularly, some of the engineers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. And there'll always be a level of, you know, tying it back to where the company is trying to go. There's always going to be a level of fear and, you know, insurance concerns on the part of a company about, you know, we talked about the Zinkos, where it's like, you know, that amount of mass. Hasbro is never going to put that amount of mass at that level of velocity, because there's too much of a risk of people misusing it. And so there's always going to be room for us to do these things, and void our warranties forever and ever. Amen. And I think that I think it's really beautiful. I think that just watching the community see a product like this and just sort of immediately know, oh, this is the one. We're going to do so much with this. And there's just like a very friendly, it just felt like a very friendly race to get like all these different ammo types firing out of it and try to get the FPS higher and do all this stuff as quickly as possible. And people just trying all kinds of crazy stuff. I just love it. I think it's beautiful. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. I am tired. It's now 11:30 my time. I want to know what you two want to tell our audience to where they should check you out. Vile, what's up?
I am regularly streaming my mods over on Twitch on Fridays and Saturdays. I am Pacific time, so I start at noon both days and go until about 8 o'clock.
If you're listening to this episode on the launch day, you can probably catch Vile in a few hours.
It's very true. You might be able to catch me. If you want to see whatever I'm working on as well, I also still post somewhat regularly on my Instagram. And one of these days I will put out a video for KT on how to build a thing. With a mega AR.
Make sure you check out Vile at twitch.tv/vile_mods and find him on YouTube and on Instagram, which are both Vile Mods with no underscore because the internet is dumb. And of course, you can check out JoltKing627 on TikTok.
The new TikTok sensation.
Why did I get into this?
627.
Yes. I'm never going to let you live it down either. No, Joel, where do you want people to check you out? Where do you want people to check you out?
Not TikTok. YouTube. Yay, YouTube.
Yes, YouTube, where Jolt is now posting his excellent short form vertical content on that. Jolt's an extremely talented YouTuber. He does really great stuff.
I will neither confirm nor deny this.
Definitely check out JoltKing627 on YouTube and TikTok if you're there. And of course, I'm KT, Family Foam Sport. I'm on YouTube. I'm on TikTok. I'm sort of on Instagram. And it's just at Family Foam Sport everywhere. I'm shameless now. I also write the music that appears in all these episodes. And so if you think that's kind of cool, you could check out my YouTube channel where I put my music, which is at Kinetic Turtle. And you can also, some of it, you know, I might, if this goes somewhere, I might make an OST for the podcast and just do good mixes of all the songs because that would just be fun. So if that sounds interesting to you, let me know in the comments and maybe I'll get that done.
And if you want to see... If you want to see it, KT also does live music
that
over
is
on
true.
Twitch.
I am also on Twitch at Kinetic Turtle.
It is very good vibes.
That's right. Yeah, very good vibes. I've tuned in
and
many.
And on the night, streaming of building Lego.
I was going to say, on a lot of the nights where Vile is not modding, I'm on Twitch doing Lego, and that sort of becomes the hangout for a lot of us. So if you want to come say hey. Sweet. And I am currently planning on being at Maryland Mayhem. I haven't registered yet. I'm going to register soon. I just need to work out like one or two last things and make sure that I'm clear on that week, fully clear on that weekend, but I am currently planning on being at Maryland Mayhem. So if you're planning on going, come say hey. I'm really excited. I mean, it's months out, but I'm just putting it out there. I'm excited to go. I'm sort of talking with Maritime Foam about possibly like carpooling together, doing some stuff, but he's also got other people coming with him, so it's still up in the air. But I am planning on being there one way or another. So I'm looking forward to that and meeting a lot of the folks, meeting a lot of people. Should be a lot of fun. So that about does it.
All right, I got hot glue to eat. Let's go.
Oh, you didn't mention the hot glue eating last episode, but I'm glad it's back.
No, I didn't. I made a grave mistake.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We'll get there. All right. Good night. We podcasted. Good night.
Bye.
Or good, whatever time of day you're listening to this. Who knows? All right, we can stop recording now.